Well, the title of this morning's message is that there is nothing beneficial about being fake. Am I too loud? Are y'all okay? Kind of loud? It's all right? Okay. My ears are out of whack. So is everything else. This works better, Karen, if I turn it on. I'm sorry. I'm like, Karen. Karen's like, okay, turn it on. It'll work. We live in a world today where no doubt everything is fake. And if you talk about the word fake, fake is something that means deceptive. Fake is something that it's not. It's a knockoff. It's not the real thing. And, you know, you've heard it. We've all heard it. But, you know, we have fake news. We have fake media. We have fake reporting. Everything that you hear today is embellished. And candidly, it's embellished in such a way to get better ratings or, you know, to climb up the corporate ladder. But one thing that it does is that it stirs up dissension. Well, we go, wow, the world is in a mess, right? Well, it is. Well, here's the news flash. So is church. In the Christian church today, there are fake pastors and ministers and missionaries, evangelists, Christians. There are all kinds of different people in church today, and everything that they do is embellished. And candidly, to get a better rating. There are churches out there that won't talk about the totality of God's gospel because they don't want to offend. You know, there are churches out there that don't show people either speaking in tongues or being slain in the spirit because it's not good for TV ratings. And everything out here is used, candidly, I think, by the evil one to stir up dissension. And if the church would get along, if the church, not New Harvest, but the church proper could get along, we wouldn't be where we are today, and we sure wouldn't be in the mess that we are today. There are two kinds of churches. Those that are willing to preach the totality of God's word, in season and out of season. It means when it's popular and when it's not popular. And then there are those churches who are not willing to preach the totality of God's word in season and out of season. And candidly, the two churches, one is a very spiritual church, one's a very worldly church. Well, you know, first of all, that what we need to think about is, what did God call us to do? Why are you here? And we preached a message a couple weeks back about, I'm not here to tickle your ear. I want you to know the truth. And I want you to know the good. I want you to know the bad. I want you to know what happens if you follow God. I want you to know what happens if you don't follow God. And this is a church that will tell you that heaven's real and hell is real. Sin is real. And God still has wrath, and God's a very jealous God, and God doesn't play games. And the churches today need to get to the place to go, we can't play games anymore. As a pastor of this church, my greatest concern is that what is preached from the pulpit, what is preached on Wednesday, what is preached in the home cells, what happens when we have the men's Bible studies and the ladies' Bible studies, is that what we preach is based upon precepts in God's holy word. Now, here's what's important. What we cannot do is deal with our own personal opinions, personal interpretation of the Bible, personal emotions, because emotions drive people today in what they believe. But whatever we do, we must be able to back it up by Scripture in God's holy word. You know, I've talked to some people lately, and they go, you know, well, I'm comfortable with this, but boy, I'm a little uncomfortable with that, but, you know, it's in the Word, so I'm okay with it. And if you and I sit down in here today, and I promise you, if we press in, and the more we press into God, the more uncomfortable you're going to be. But if you can back it up in the Word, if you can find it in God's holy Word, then it's not about God, it's about you. And it's about you going, Lord, help me understand where we're going and what we're doing. Now, in the book of Revelation, it says, I testify to everyone who hears. Now, we've talked about how do you hear the word of God. But it says to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. And that's the book of Revelation. Everybody that hears from it, it says, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in the book. God is not playing. And God is saying, if it's in the book, embrace it. If you don't understand it, study it till you do. But don't run from it. So it says that if anyone adds to him, God will add to him the plagues. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book or of the prophecy, God will actually take them out of the book completely. Because it says God will take away his part from the tree of life, from the holy city, which are written in this book. So it's important for us as we go forward to make sure, even if you don't understand, to go, is it in the book? And again, if it's in the book, embrace it. If it's not in the book, don't embrace it. And we know that the Bible talks about false prophets that will come. You know, there's some guy up in Houston now claiming that he's Jesus Christ. Okay, I guess we're left behind, you know. But the whole idea is, how do I know? Because the Bible tells you how Jesus is coming. He's not coming in a lowrider down 288. He's going to come with the sound of the trumpets. It's going to be a big spectacle when he comes. And if anybody else would say anything to you about it, to go, no, because the Bible tells us differently. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Now, here's what I want you to understand. When I sit down as pastor and preach messages, when I sit down and read the book, when I sit down and try to share God's word, you know, I don't take it flippantly. I'm very serious about what I do because I'm the one at the end of the day, when I stand in front of the Lord, I'm the one that's going to receive a stricter punishment than you will because I'm the one preaching the word. And it's important for us, for all of us, when you read the book or you listen to the message today, do not take my word for it. Go home, write the passages down, and look in the book. And if I'm wrong, come and tell me. But never take a pastor's word for granted. Now, we've been learning how do we hear from God. Now, I want you guys to hear me. I want you to hear the whole thing, but I really want you to kind of tune in for a minute. There was a time, and I shared with you guys a couple sermons ago, when someone used my transparency against me, and I began to question my own calling. Am I right? Am I wrong? And I even began to question, should we build a church? Should we not build a church? Now, God speaks to us in all different ways. Okay? I read the book, and God talks to me as I read. So when I begin to question my own calling, he gave me Isaiah 49. And it says, listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations, before I was born, the Lord called me to this ministry. Now, I remember looking back at 16 years of age. I believe that God had called me to go into the ministry. I didn't do it. When I got out of high school, well, I thought, well, I didn't do it then either. And then life took over, and it wasn't until I was 38 did God finally just get my attention to go, I've been calling, now you're going to have to answer the call. So I know with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my body that God has called me to be here, because I've shared this to a lot of guys that come into my office that want to go into the ministry, and I will tell them, if you can do anything else, go do it. Well, they don't really understand till they get into the ministry. And then they begin to understand this is the only thing that I can do. I can't go anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. This is where God has called me. And I know that God called me. Isaiah 49:7 says, this is what the Lord says, the Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised by the nations, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. And once again, I said, God, thank you for giving me the confirmation that I am. And there's a date down there. That was in August 13th of 2017 when I read that. Isaiah 49 and 19. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. And I got to tell you that a lot of the people came to me and went, Pastor, we don't have the space. And that brought confirmation to me back in 7-9 of 16 that God wanted us to build the building. 7-9 of 16, it says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their face to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Amen. And those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Amen. And at that point in time is when I made the decision to go, Father, the battle that we're about to fight is your battle, but I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to move forward and I will lead your church. On August 15th of 2017, I said, okay, we're going to go forward. We're going to build this church because that's what you're asking us to do. I want you to understand that when we do things as pastors in this church, it's done after a lot of prayer. It's done in soul searching. It's done to make sure that there's confirmation from God's word that we do what he's asked us to do. Now, here's what is so cool. Philippians 4:19. Now, again, we're building the building, okay? It says, my God, don't know about yours, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now here's what's so awesome. God took a donation given to this church, 1999, 2000, a donation of $87,500 and turned that into $1.7 million is what God did with that $87,000. And all of that money is going to go toward this church. You go, wow, that's so awesome. And I'm like, yeah, it is, but it doesn't need to stop. God lowered the money. And Pam already shared with you guys, lowered the money for us to buy 300 brand new chairs for for the new facility. There are still people in here that were going, hey, listen, we'll buy 10 chairs. We'll do this. We'll do that. Okay, I've got something for you in just a sec. Okay? God reduced the price of the marquee. We didn't put in the message center, but I think God said, you don't need the message center. All you need is me. Okay? But we went from $37,500, we got that at almost cost for $8,500 through National Signs. Amen? Amen. I met Friday with a gentleman that's going to come into this church and do all the signage for the new building. All the directional signs, all the signage inside, any sign that we need, he's going to do. He said, I think if you paid for it, it'd be up around $10,000. He's going to do it for absolutely nothing for this church. God made the way for the cross. You can see the big window out there up front, but there's going to be a cross. An I-beam, just rough metal cross that's going to be up there. And God has allowed us to get that donated to the church also. Amen? Amen? There's a water feature that's going to be up front. And I'm telling you, that too is going to be right in front of the cross. That too is going to be donated to this church. Hallelujah. Now, for all the other people in here, we are going to start a new campaign. This is called Cradles to Crayons. And that's to pay cash to furnish all the needs of the children's ministry in the building next door. And just as much as the chairs were paid for, that's going to get paid for too. And as soon as that gets paid for, we're going to turn our attention over here. Because we've got young adults, we're going to have youth, and we're going to pay cash for this right here. And the neat thing about it is, at the end of the day, we're going to look down at all the different things. We're going to listen to God and all the things that He said that He would do. And His Word says, I will supply your needs. And everything that we pay cash for, and the naysayers over here that said, we don't need to build, you shouldn't build, you don't have to build, we're going to go, well, that's okay for you. But my daddy said he's going to build it, and my daddy paid for it, and my daddy lowered the money, and it's all paid for. And we're going to look at our note and go, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm telling you, somebody, I don't know if they're in this building, I don't know if they're outside the building, but somebody, I believe, is going to come in and give this church one heck of a large donation, and it's going to shock everybody's world when they go, wow. Amen. He's done it about 5 times before. He's going to do it again.
Amen.
And we're going to get that building paid for.
Amen.
In the months to come. Amen. Now, here's what's so awesome, church. I don't know if you give or not. Don't care, okay? But if you are a giver to this church, the Bible says give. And it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure. They're going to press it down. They're going to shake it together. And it's going to be running over. For by the standard of measure that you give, it will be measured in return to you. Church, we cannot outgive God. Because we have a God that is a God of not just enough, but we have a God that is a God of more than enough. Now, you remember I said before how we've been very transparent? Pam and I got to a place, 2 months ago to say, we're not saying anything to anybody because I don't want it to come back and be used against us. And we left a place one night, and, you know, I said, honey, I said, it's really sad that We can't even lift up our prayer concerns without being fearful that someone might use it against me. And God gave me this passage. He said, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but He has given us a spirit of power and love and discipline. And then this bottom part hit me hard. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Church, never be afraid to share your struggles with this church. We all go through stuff.
Amen.
And we're still going through stuff. John and Debbie Baldwin been going through stuff for a long time now. You know, Dwight and Karen been going through stuff. Arnold's been going through stuff. A lot of you guys in here have been going through stuff. But if we get so afraid and we're not willing to talk to our family, then Satan wins and you and I lose. And this is why. Romans tells us faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the Word of God, the Word of Christ, our Lord, the Holy Spirit. Now, let me share with you where I'm at. Some of y'all have come up to Pan and said, you know, where's Pastor? Well, I'm going to be real honest with you. I hadn't felt good. Hadn't felt good for a long time. Two Sundays ago, Pam took me to the hospital by ambulance because I couldn't breathe. Got up there, stayed a day. They did x-rays, did all that kind of stuff. Had a heart cath the following Tuesday. Went to another doctor the other day, and I want the prayer, and I don't have a problem asking you guys for it. But he says, you know, Pastor, he said, you know that you've got this deal on your kidney. And I said, well, I've had a cyst on my kidney for a long time. He says, no, it's not a cyst, it's a mass. I went, no, it's not. And I want the prayer. I'm not ashamed to ask for the prayer because my God has not given me a spirit of timidity. My God has given me a spirit of power and discipline. And the day that we as a church family can't be honest with each other, then we don't have a church. We got a bunch of people that want to come in and just be singers or whatever. We have to be honest with one another. Here's why we have to be honest. And here's why I mentioned my brief little personal testimony about my own health issues. I take a CAT scan tomorrow morning at 9. It says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
For where two or three have gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. So I know today in the group that we have here that Jesus Christ is right in the midst of this church. Bible tells us that every name shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in John 8, it says, so Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth. And what does the truth do? The truth will set us free. Hebrews 10 and 23. You know, I remember when I went up to see Dwight and he was hurting. You know, and that's the time that brothers and sisters come together. Because it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Without wavering. Well, I got to tell you, there's a time that we waver. There's a time, in all honesty, that we're not that stoic individual, that tree that, you know, is buried in the ground. Sometimes we get tossed to and fro. Don't like it, but it happens. But it says, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Church, things happen when we get together. You know, I shared with y'all once before that we went up to see a man who had cancer. That's what the doctor said. I took Dwight, and Dwight's got the Journey of Hope ministry. And when Dwight sat down and began to talk to him, because he's like, you know, I'm just down, I'm out. Dwight began to talk. Dwight says, I've walked in the same shoes that you're walking. The ministry of God's presence filled that room. And he encouraged that man. And that's what God is asking us to do. Now, all of this, I say, is surely our griefs he himself bore. If you and I get together and we come to church, if we know our role in church, if we're willing to pray for each other in church, if we're willing to ask in Jesus' name, all of those scriptures that I just read, we hold fast to our confessions. It says, surely our griefs he bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And here's the truth. By his scourging, by his stripes, every person in this room, I read this to myself this morning, I am healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Now, Acts 22, and he said, the God of our fathers have appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to do what? And to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen, but also what you have heard. See, God is not a respecter of people. You know, I saw Larry jumping over here. Boy, I'm telling you, Larry, just a minute ago, I leaned over to Pam and went, boy, the deeps would be crying out if I was jumping, let me tell you. But you know, God will answer your prayers. God speaks to everyone over here. Same thing to this group and the same thing to this group over here. And you know, it's a sad thing today that we from the pulpit have made this such a hard deal. That if you don't go, you know, do it this way, or if you don't go to a closet, or if you don't get on your knees, or if you don't get up at 3 a.m, whatever it might be, then that's a bunch of hogwash. God doesn't hear prayers at 3 a.m. in the morning, and that's the only time if you're lucky to dial in and you're the fifth caller, okay? God speaks to us all day long. The problem is he speaks, we don't listen. And there is no magical format for us to follow. But what God wants to do with his children is for his children just to sit down and talk to him. And throughout the course of the day, he will talk to you if you're willing to listen. Psalm says, and I will walk at liberty. For I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and I shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Church, we can't be ashamed of God's word. If you go to the hospital, pray. If you take tests, pray. Arnold's got a doctor. He said, well, you can do what you do, but before you do it, you're going to pray. And they pray. We need to make sure that we're not ashamed of the testimony that we have in the word that our God gives us. Philippians 4, and this is really hard for me sometimes. It says, be anxious for nothing. Well, you know, when you go, you leave the doctors and he goes, well, hey, you know, do you know that you, whoa, wait a minute. And I'm supposed to be out, you know, not be anxious for nothing? I ain't got there yet, you know. But it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And I've said this before, with thanksgiving. I'm weak on that end of it too. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't have to tell you where my mind went the other day. Got pretty dark pretty quick. Well, that's where Satan wants us to be.
Yeah.
Satan wants us to give up the ship. Satan wants us to jump out of the ship. But even if we get scared and we jump out, I still got a God that says that you and I can walk on the water.
Amen.
Now, Colossians 3:16, let the word of God, church, richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Pastor D said, Keith, you don't feel good this morning. You really want to sing that song, and I'm going to sing it for me. Because that's what I believe. I don't operate that way, but it's what I believe, and it's what all of us should believe in this room. But it says, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, whatever you do in the word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now, church, there's nothing beneficial about being fake. Now, that line, that I didn't scratch out with the family, okay? That line's out of whack there. We're not the family. No more. Okay? Y'all, no, we're done. Finished. But it says we are family. And well, Satan put that up there. Karen's going, I didn't do nothing, man. I just put. But we are family, and we need each other. And when you're weak, you need to hear. When you're sad, you need to come up in here. When you're happy, you need to come up in here. Whatever your situation is, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Well, church, if you have a need, hey, Christy, I